The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Preview. We're going to look ahead to Saturday evening's action at the Breeders' Cup. We'll be in Santa Anita watching all of that racing. What else could you expect from a night of racing? There's something for everybody, isn't there? It's a real great evening to look forward to. And I'm joined on the line to look at the action by Racing Post Weekender's international racing expert, Nick Mordyn. How are you, Nick?
Hi, fine.
Good. Great evening of racing, isn't it, on Saturday evening? Plenty of prize money on offer, plenty of great horses, and it should be another good evening, shouldn't it?
Yeah, there's a lot of good horses running. It's a pity there aren't more foreigners, but, you know, there's a lot more international racing nowadays towards the end of the year. That shows the success of the Breeders' Cup. It spawned competitors, and so they get attracted to, well, Japan, Australia, Hong Kong, Singapore, Dubai. There's all sorts of international meetings now going on at the end of the year.
Yes, so do you think that takes away from the Breeders' Cup a little bit?
Well, I think right now it does a little bit, but I think racing is organising itself towards a world platform, which is a very healthy move because other sports have got a jump on horse racing by being international and having their major events being international, not local. Horse racing for so many years has been tied into its local sports that it hasn't exploited the world stage in the way that has made other sports popular. Now it's beginning to, and the Breeders' Cup was a granddaddy of them all, and it's 1984 it started, and all these competitors started after it, and I like the way horse racing is going, and this is how it started, the Breeders' Cup.
Good. So let's move on to the Breeders' Cup, then. Let's look at the races on Saturday evening. We're going to look at the nine big races, and we'll start in the 7:05, which is the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies Grade 1 contest on the dirt, and we're over the extended mile here. So talk through your thoughts in this one then, Nick.
Yeah, there's basically one really attractive horse for me in this race, and that's She's a Tiger. She's much bigger, she's much stronger than her rival, she's very mature, and she's got controlling speed. She can make a move in a race that her rivals just can't match. She's done that every time but one that she's run, and she's run five times, and she's made this enormous move. One time she made it a bit too early, and she didn't quite hang on, and another time, well, the jockey decided to try and hold her up, and she just didn't have the acceleration to match Concave in that race. But Gary Stevens, he reckons he's going to do the right thing here and make the move at the right time, and I think She's a Tiger is going to be very tough to beat here. She's got tremendous pace. This race will be run at a very fast gallop, but I think she's going to control it and kick clear with about two furlongs to run. The horses that would be major rivals to her, well, people believe, and she's joint favourite, Artemis Agrotira has got a really big shot because she won the Frisette down in New York. But in actual fact, if you watch the video of that race, you'll see that the runner-up, Sweet Reason, just lost the race at the start. She was just left about six or eight lengths at the start. And watching the video, it's obvious she would have beaten Artemis Agrotira with a decent start. And if you go back to a run before that, she ran away with another Grade 1 in faster time than Artemis Agrotira won that race where she beat her. So I just think Sweet Reason will turn that form around. She's a really strong horse. She's a stayer. And she'll be running on strongly at the finish, as will Concave, who is the other horse that managed to beat She's a Tiger. So I believe that we'll see She's a Tiger kick for home, Sweet Reason and Concave try and catch her and fail. So the other horse, Secret Compass, she's interesting because she managed to catch She's a Tiger when she went for home too soon over this course and distance, but I don't think She's a Tiger will do that this time. So I think She's a Tiger is the main likely winner here. Sweet Reason would be second, Concave third.
Okay, She's a Tiger then in the Juvenile Fillies. Moving on to the next race, which is the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Turf. It's a Grade 1 over a mile and a quarter, and we have Dank at the top of the betting at 7-4. Marketing Mix is 11-2, and Romantica is also 11-2. It's then 6-1 for Tiz Flirtatious and 10-1 barring those. And an interesting stat that you've highlighted in the Racing Post weekend there, Nick, that US 3-year-old turf fillies are a weak group, and of the 15 who have run in this race, they all finished unplaced. So you're looking to take on the home brigade here?
Yes, with the caveat that 9 out of the 14 runnings of this race have gone to US-based horses. The concern is that it's a long, hard season, and it's if you actually look at the international races towards the end of the year, with a few exceptions, the European fillies tend to do quite poorly. And so although it looks on any set of numbers that Dank and Romantica, the two European entrants, just totally dominate this race, you have to respect the locals. Although I'll toss out the three-year-olds quite happily. Marketing Mix, who ran three parts of a length second last year, nothing really wrong with her at all. But when I look at my numbers, if Dank and Romantica run up to the form they've shown in Europe, and of course Dank in America, then they really should go 1-2. The concern for me with Dank is whether or not she's got the kind of turn of foot that can win this race. Although she did show a really good bit of acceleration in the Beverly Dee at Arlington, she'd have to show even more to win this race. And the horse that's done that for me is Romantica. If you look at the race that she ran in the Prix Jean Romane, she actually took just 33.6 seconds to run the last three furlongs in that race. That's a blistering speed. And it's exactly the kind of speed that you need to win a U.S. turf race, where they go slow and then they sprint to French style. And Dam won this race. Romantica, she's been tried on soft ground. She's been tried at 12 furlongs, but soft ground at 12 furlongs are not her thing. 10 furlongs firm ground, that's exactly what she wants, and I think she's the one to beat here, not Dank, and she's a much better value. I think this race really concerns Dank, Romantica, and the American filly Marketing Mix. The whole bunch of US three-year-old fillies in the race, but as you've noted, they don't really seem to go and win this race.
Okay, and of the three, if I were to ask you for just one of them to start going?
Well, betting value, I mean, you've got to go with value, and Romantica is a much better price than Dank. I mean, you'd have to put them pretty much par on any set of numbers, but when you look at the price, you've got to go with Romantica.
Okay, we're staying with the fillies and mares, but this time it's over the sprint trip in the 8-21. This is the Breeders' Cup Filly Mare Sprint on the dirt over 7 furlongs, and the betting for this race is headed by Groupie Doll, who's 5-2. Judy the Beauty is 5-1. Book Review 6-1, as is Dance to Bristol. Sweet Lulu is 8-1 with Teddy's Promise, and then it's 12-1 or bigger prices the rest. So Groupie Doll looks a fairly solid favourite from where I'm sitting. Do you agree with that?
Yes, and I think she'll actually even start shorter over here in America, because she's a really good filly, and her trainer has been extremely patient with her this year. She started off the year not training well, so he just eased off on her, didn't run her till very late, and she's come back to break the course record over 6.5 furlongs at Presque Isle Downs, 2 runs back. Whenever she's hit a big enough field to generate a strong pace, she's won 6 times out of 6 that she's worn blinkers in sprint fields of 8 or more. She's a dominant filly that would have a big shot in the Breeders' Cup sprint itself, as she would have done last year. She's way ahead of these on speed figures, and I just think she's going to win it for the second year running. Dance to Bristol, she'd won 7 in a row until she was caught wide and ran second in a grade 2 last time. She'd be the next best on my numbers. And Judy the Beauty, well, she managed to beat Groupie Doll when the early pace wasn't fast enough in one race, but it seems to me those are three. But of the three, Groupie Doll, well, I don't like picking favourites, but 5-2, 11-4 for Groupie Doll, that looks real value to me.
Okay, Groupie Doll and real value. Any dangers at bigger prices to her?
Well, sprints, I have to concede, are not my specialty, but she is dominant, and if I had to pick a horse at a price to beat her, it would be Dance to Bristol, but I just think she's so dominant, you shouldn't really oppose her. If you can bet her in exactas or straight forecasts, though, with Dance to Bristol and Judy the Beauty, maybe, but I'd go for the win mostly because the price is value.
Okay, good stuff. The 9.05 then is next. This is the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint, a grade 1 over 6 furlongs. And Misdirection heads the betting at the moment, 4-1, bidding to follow up last year's success in the race. Won all 5 times, in fact, she's run over this course and distance. And last time it was a similar story. She came back from a break. So do you think she's a solid favourite?
Well, in a way, yes. It's a race which is dominated by horses that are course specialists, because Santa Anita's turf course, at least this part of it, the 6.5, the 10 furlong, and the 12 furlong part of it, a downhill. It's rather like Epsom, and a horse really has to be able to handle a steep downhill run and a tight home turn to win this race. All the times it's been run at Santa Anita, all three, it's been gone to a course specialist, and if you look at the course specialist this year, there's Chips All In, Misdirection, Boat Trip, and Carcatordero. I can't pronounce it, that one, anyway. But of those, well, Misdirection's won 5 out of 5, but faster than her is Chips All In. He won the big local prep race for this last time out, and he beat the late rush of Boat Trip narrowly, but he looked to have a little bit in hand. I think Chips All In is the logical choice at a better price than Misdirection. I think that that's more the one. Rene's got Zip has also got course specialty going for her here. I think, you know, one of those. Chips All In, Misdirection, Rene's got Zip the most likely, and Chips All In is the best price for me, and that's slightly ahead on my numbers anyway.
Okay, moving on to the next race, which is the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. This is at 9:43 UK time. It's a Grade 1 on the dirt, and we're over the extended mile here. And Havana heads the betting this morning at 3-1. But just looking at your piece in the weekend, you've picked out a couple with more value in them than the favourite.
Yes, I mean, if you look at Havana's win on the East Coast in the Champagne Stakes, it seems to me that the race was so much set up for him. His rivals just tore off and cut each other's throats at a very strong pace. And is that really going to happen for him this time? He's not really run hugely fast. He's the fastest on any set of speed figures you care to use. But he's not like, we've got like half a dozen juveniles at least who've run quicker than him in Europe. And I don't think he's dominant at all. And if you look at in terms of physique, the biggest, strongest, fastest horse is surely Wayne Lucas's strong mandate. And he romped away in the Grade 1 hopeful by 10 lengths. And he just, according to Wayne Lucas, didn't handle the surface at Belmont Park next time behind Havana. It was slightly wet. But my impression was he just disliked facing the kickback, which the only other time he'd had to run in behind horses and have dirt kicked in his face, he also lost. And he's hosed up both times he's avoided kickback. And here, everyone's saying it's a disadvantage. He's been drawn very wide. But actually, I think that's probably going to help him, because it's going to put him on the outside of the field without the kickback, hopefully. He'll move forward and be, I think, quite tough to beat, because the way he dominated in the hopeful was quite tremendous. The one, well, actually, I might even prefer better than him is Dance with Fate, because he's got the local form up in California, and he's a really good-looking horse, and he had major traffic problems when he was half-length second in the Grade 1 Del Mar Futurity, and he just caught too fast an early pace when he was pressed to go too hard in the Grade 1 front runner, and basically, he's pretty much bomb-proof. If one of those two doesn't win, I would be surprised, and I say, if you bet both Dance with Fate and Strong Mandate, you're going to come out ahead in this race. One of them is going to win for you.
Okay, good stuff. The 10:22 is next. This is the Breeders' Cup Turf, a Grade 1 over a mile and a half. And a big European hope here in the shape of the Fugue, who's the 2-1 market leader. Point of entry is 4-1. Big Blue Kitten is 6s with Magician. Little Mike is 7-1, last year's winner, of course. And then 11-1 or bigger prices. The rest, what do the trends say should be winning this then, Nick?
Well, I mean, I've been saying all season that the Fugue shouldn't go for this race. She shouldn't go for the Breeders' Cup. John Gosden likes going for this meeting because he used to train in California. He trained the winner the first year the Breeders' Cup was run, Raw Heroine, when he was a local trainer. But I don't believe the Fugue likes going downhill around tight turns. She showed that in the Oaks at Epsom. She showed that at this meeting last year. Both times she got into trouble on the turn, both times she got into traffic. I don't see why it's going to be any different this time, especially when you consider this is probably the strongest field of local turf horses we've ever seen in this race, certainly in the last 15 years. back in the days at Manila and such, yeah, there were some good ones. But this year we got some really good American horses that are going to be, I think, very hard for her to beat. And the one that's impressed me, just watch the videos of this horse, Big Blue Kitten. You go on YouTube, you can watch them, and you'll see he always finishes his races out with tremendous energy. He's just full of run all the way to the line and past it. And he's just been running seriously fast times and looks a really good-looking horse with tremendous turn of foot. Everything goes for him, and he's run just as fast as a few got my numbers. I think he's going to be the one to beat. Point of entry, he's the best horse in the race, in theory, but he actually had a condylar fracture after his last start and has been off for a long time. How often do you see horses come back from a major fracture or off a 6 or 8 months layoff and come and win a big race like this? It doesn't happen. Little Mike, he's a six-year-old, and six-year-olds just don't win longer distance races at the Breeders' Cup. Indy Point's not fast enough. Basically, the only other horse with a serious chance, I think, well, two, perhaps, Real Solution. He was a brilliant horse in Italy. I had him running an amazing number on his prep race for the Derby Italiano last year when he went wrong. And, of course, he showed how good he was when he was awarded the Arlington Million, and he should have been because he should have won that race with a clear run. And he's a very useful horse. He's a stablemate of Big Blue Kitten, but I don't think quite as good. Magician showed in the D stakes that he's got the acceleration that can win this kind of race. I think he's interesting, but he's only three. I just think Big Blue Kitten and Real Solution, both with the same owner and trainer, I think they're the ones. But for me, Big Blue Kitten's got an edge over Real Solution. I don't think the Fugue's going to win this race, and I wouldn't be surprised if she ran unplaced.
Okay, no good for the Fugue then for us British followers. On to the 1101 next. This is the Breeders' Cup Sprint, a grade one on the dirt over 6 furlongs. And your key pointer in the paper is that 21 of 29 sprint winners of this race won over further. So do you think there's more of an emphasis on stamina here than we might consider?
You'll see. Well, exactly. You'll see this in UK races like the Wokingham and all the big sprint races over 6 furlongs, the big sprint handicaps, Air Gold Cup, etc. You'll find that because the pace is so strong, and it is very strong in this race every year, that if a horse can't stay a longer distance, hasn't proven it can stay at least 7 furlongs, well, generally speaking, it's not going to last home because there is a stampede for the lead in this race. They go a hell of a gallop. And generally speaking, you've either got a very dominant champion of a front runner that wins, or it's going to be a closer. And, well, I think it's going to be a closer. And that would lead me to suspect all the stats point to Justin Philip. He was a strong finishing fifth in the race last year. He won a grade one in good style at Saratoga, one of the best of the year. And he was an unlucky next second in the Vosboro after he had a barging match with a winner. The stewards didn't take the winner down. A lot of people think they should have done. And he's obviously the one in form. Private Zone, he's the one that beat Justin Philip in that race. But I think he's more of a front-running sort and is going to go too fast. He's going to be pressed to go too fast in the lead here. And if I had to name a horse that might be the front runner that would go all the way, it'd be Fast Bullet. He's got serious speed and also he stays longer. So I think he's the danger. But it's a very contentious race. To be honest, I would want about 4 or 5 to 1 before even thinking about betting Justin Philip. And I might skip this race. It's a hard race to pick the winner.
Okay. The Breeders' Cup Mile is the penultimate race of the evening. It's at 11:40, a grade one on the turf, over a mile, of course. And European horses don't have a particularly good record when the Breeders' Cup's run in California, so Olympic Glory and Cristoforo Colombo might struggle. We've also got Wise Dan in there, of course, who won this race last year and a firm favourite over in America. How do you see this panning out, Nick?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, the Europeans, obviously, that do well in this are the French. And sadly, the French horses have disappeared for some reason. Dels Angles hasn't sent over his two. And so we're left with the Irish horse, Cristoforo Colombo, and the British one, Olympic Glory. And, well, they tend to want opposing, because if you actually look at this race, they just don't tend to have the acceleration to win this because they're out-and-out milers, the British and Irish horses that tend to get sent over this race. And really, you want a sprinter. To win a race where they go slow, then sprint, you need a sprinter. And the French horses are used to doing that. The British and Irish horses aren't. And if you look especially at Olympic Glory, this is a horse that takes a while to get rolling. He can win on a straight course or a track with a very long home straight. But the idea of him getting rolling in a sprint finish up a 1.5 furlong home straight, I just think that's a fantasy. The chance of him winning, I think, is very low. Richard Hannon is a good trainer, but he doesn't seem to be very adept at getting a horse to win outside Europe. I think his career goes back to 1970, and he hasn't had a single winner outside Europe, and he's had 20 runners outside Europe in the last 16 years, so I don't know how many in 40-odd years. But I don't fancy Olympic Glory at all. The hot favorite, of course, will be Wise Dan, and I am concerned that he's riding seven. And when a horse shows the first slightest sign of deterioration as it's getting towards that age, you have to be very wary of them. And this horse lost his big win streak. He was on a 9-race win streak. He lost last time. And people say, oh, well, he lost because they had to switch the race to Polytrack. But this horse had actually run his fastest ever race on Polytrack up until he won this contest last year. And I just am not sure that he's as good as he was. And Andy Byer, I note with interest, says in the Washington Post that he believes that as well. So I'm inclined at very short odds to oppose Wise Dan here. Now, when you get to that point, well, you have to wonder about how the race is going to set up. And there's two front runners here. Silver Max, this is the horse that managed to beat Wise Dan on the Poly track. And also, obviously, another horse that's going to gun for the lead. So we're going to get an unusually strongly run race here, I think. And for me, it sets it up for No Jet Lag. No Jet Lag has looked an out-and-out champion, winning his two races in America. Of course, he used to be with John Costin in Britain, and he lost his form after looking very promising as a two-year-old, but he actually came within 0.06 of a second of Wise Dan's track record, which is very close to the world record, when he won rather comfortably by half length from Hebe Fire and Ice on his last start. He's a very athletic, nice-looking horse with tremendous turn of foot, who looks very classy and in tremendous form to me. And he was 20-1, which was mad. I believe he's 10-1 now, which is more like it, but he probably started at sevens. And I think No Jet Lag's the horse to beat here of all the runners in the race. He's got the race set up for him with the early speed, and I like his chance of winning this. Hebe Fire and Ice, the horse that ran a half length second in No Jet Lag, is a mad price with bookies at 25s and 33-1. He's very consistent, and again, the race sets up for him because he's a strong finishing horse. He's a bit small, so he has a bit of trouble getting through big fields like this, but it's not as big as it could be with the French horses out, so I think he's a good bet to each way, and for me, though, No Jet Lag is the obvious choice.
Okay, Hebe Fire and Ice is 33-1, and No Jet Lag is 10. So you could back them both each way, and still get a nice return, couldn't you? So I like your angling there.
Yep.
The final race then, the Breeders' Cup Classic, the big race of the evening. We're over a mile and a quarter for this Grade 1 contest on the dirt. $2.8 million to the winner of this. Plenty of money on offer. And Game On Dude is the market leader at the time of recording this at 11-4. But we've got last year's 1-2 back in the race, Fort Larned and Macho Man both in there. And Game On Dude was unplaced in the race last year. So do you see a similar thing happening
Indeed.
This year?
Oh, yes, I think so. A lot of people will fancy Game On Dude, but, I mean, a couple of key stats for me in this race. Very much, you see very similar stats in big races quite often. And if you look at the Arc de Triomphe, you'll find that horses which lose the Arc de Triomphe over the last 25, 30 years, there have been 60-something of them that lost the Arc de Triomphe and tried to win it at a second attempt or a third attempt. All of them lost. In this race, there have been 53 horses that lost this race other than in a photo that have tried to win it a second time. All of them lost. So, I mean, to me, and I'm sure if you went through a lot of big races around the world, you'd find similar stats. To me, Game On Dude looks horribly vulnerable just for that reason. And I think the reason he loses this race is because he gets taken on at a much faster pace because he's a front runner than he's used to. If you look at this race, you've got Fort Larned, you've got Moreno, you've got Planter, all are going to gun for the lead, and quite possibly Palace Malice as well. So you're going to have an absolute cavalry charge beginning of the race, and I just don't think Game On Dude has really got the stamina to survive. He's more of a 9-furlong horse that can stretch his stamina to 10 when he's got an easy lead. He will not have an easy lead here. He's going to crash and burn again, just as he did in the Dubai World Cup, just as he did in this race last year. I say he runs unplaced, and that makes a lot of value with the other horses. So if you look at the other horses, well, Fort Larned, kind of a horse like Cirrus de Zegel, stuffy horse that needs a recent run to get him fit, and that's what he's had. He's obviously been keyed in, trained for this very race to win it a second time, as Tisnau did. I think he's got a good shot of winning this race. Flat out, he's a Belmont specialist. He's too old. He can't win it. Planter's going to go too fast. The three-year-olds, I just don't think, can really do it. So if anything is going to upset Fort Larned, it'll be the horse that ran second in by half length last year, Macho Man, who ran a tremendous race winning the Key Local Prep very impressively last time, or the Aidan O'Brien horse, Declaration of War, who started out his career looking like a dirt horse because his sire, his dam, his full brother won on nothing but sand or dirt. His first two wins were on sand and fibre sand. He flopped on turf the third time, then won on polytrack, so it looked like he was headed to be a dirt horse as well, but of course now he's shown that he can be good on turf. But coming back to the surface, he started on the surface he's bred for. In the country he was originally trained, because he started off with Todd Pletcher. I think Declaration of War, with a 10-week break, he's kind of interesting. Of the Europeans, weirdly enough, I think he's the best value in the dirt race, which is an odd thing to say because normally it's the turf horses. But seems to me Fort Larned is the most likely winner, and Macho Machaman the most likely second. But Declaration of War is good value as well. So I would be betting those three in exactas and betting Fort Larned and Declaration of War to win.
Yeah, interesting point, isn't it, that with Declaration of War, the fact that we've got an Aidan O'Brien runner going over to America in a dirt race and could be value, which is not normal, is it? So yeah, interesting angle.
No, I mean, it's a very strong contest, and you don't often see a European horse that actually started off on dirt, because his first run was at Pornichet, which is a weird little French track where the track is actually made of sand. It's normally used for harness racing, but it's a sand track, and he's certainly going to be able to handle the tight turns here, because Pornichet is only 5.5 furlongs in circumference, and so he can handle a 1 mile in circumference track pretty well, I would think, if he can do that.
Yeah, good. Good stuff. That's some great points about Saturday's racing. If I were to ask you for a best bet or which one you're most looking forward to seeing on Saturday, which would that be?
Oh, no jet lag. I mean, I confess I have quite a bit on it at 20-1, but even at 10-1, I wouldn't be having a few pennies more, because he's just impressed me a lot. And Big Blue Kitten's also impressed me a lot. Those would be my big two.
Fantastic. Thank you very much for speaking to us again, Nick, and enjoy this weekend at Santa Anita.
All right, thank you.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.